A caller says the campaign for Letterkenny Hospital has been highlighted constantly since January this year, but not enough of the general public in Donegal are rowing in and contacting politicians and pressuring for something to be done. And I include myself as one not doing enough, but I must and will do more. It's not just the hospital situation that Donegal has been let down on. It's the defective concrete situation. The school buses have been in that situation too. They just don't care about Donegal. Ah, they're away up there. We won't go near them with help. It's never-ending situation, bad and getting worse, they say. Ian McGarvey was in contact with us. There needs to be a more cooperation between the North and the South health systems. Where there's a cross-border facility in place at the moment, it's very hard to access and takes a long time for people to get their money back. There should be a system where people funding coming through straight away without them having to pay for it by which they sign a form. Very ironic that all the people who say that 50 plus one majority isn't enough for a united Ireland always urge 50 plus one is enough to maintain the union. Yes, but if it the dynamics in Northern Ireland change further, maybe it'll be 75, maybe it'll be 80, maybe it'll be 90. Hedge cutters on the dual carriageway causing unnecessary stress with the new traffic system and only one lane operating on the dual carriageway this morning. I don't really understand why that work was done at the same time as such a major change to the traffic control in Letterkenny, but it was explained that that's when funding came through and use it or lose it. On the traffic lights, a caller says the lights are okay, but during peak times, the traffic lights are not working correctly. Where they make the roundabout safer, they're creating bottlenecks and backlogs of traffic during rush hour. Caller says it took him 1 hour from the on-post depot to the Dry Arch roundabout with the build-up of traffic. This would indicate that they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Another point here is with the amount of cars sitting with their engines running, is the potential spike in carbon monoxide in the air at the time. Well, actually, you know, those statistics are available. I might check that out after the show to see if there's been any spiking in Letterkenny. Why do all GPs close at 5 p.m. and then shown as a new medical centre sitting wasting away over the weekend? Surely we need outreach, minor injury centre to take the pressure off the main Letterkenny University Hospital. That was a question that I put directly to the head of Sialta. Not on the cards at the moment, it seems. Caller says that traffic is currently backed up. Now, this is obviously not right now. Caller says that traffic is currently backed up to the Clannery Hotel with an ambulance stuck, unable to get through. Cars cannot even move out of the way because of the high footpaths that have been built there. It's an absolute disaster. That was at 9:30 a.m. So worrying. What do you do when there's an ambulance looking to get through? Greg, you are totally right. The day you had the two consultants on, I was listening to Drive Time on RTE Radio that evening. They were talking about health, but not a word about Letterkenny. I remember thinking that it was strange that there was no coverage at all, especially as the consultants and the GPs had spoken out. I'm sure some of them would have gone on RTE as well if they had been asked, but not a word, not even in the news headlines. Now, some people have said there were bits and pieces of coverage here and there, and that is I accept that, and if I was wrong, I apologise. But, you know, 20 minutes on the primetime news programme is different to articles throughout the course of the day. I'm not saying that that mitigates if I was wrong. I'm just saying my point, I believe, to a great extent still stands. That emergency ED team supposed to come to help is like calling the fire brigade to come put out the fire and gone again. Something permanent needs doing at Letterkenny University Hospital, and on it goes. Now, just to let you know that maybe it suits you if you're in a busy house, or maybe you're not fantastic at writing, whatever it might be, and you think, oh, I would like to have my view on the show. Well, for whatever reason, and I'm just throwing a couple out there, please feel free to send in a voice note and we can play it out on air. 086 60 25000. It's no different number. All the numbers here are the same for the text or the WhatsApp, but if you hold the little mic on your when you have WhatsApp open, record a voice note and send it through to us. 086 60 25000. It's a facility for you there. There's no reason why you shouldn't use it. 086 60 25000. Feel free also to send in your voice messages to us if that's the way you want to deliver your comment.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 01419 162025.
You're welcome back to the programme. It is Tuesday the 24th of October 2023 and it's time for the latest edition of Community Garda Information, and we're joined in studio this week by Garda Sergeant Charlene Anderson from the Buncrana Garda Station. Good morning, Charlene. Thanks so much for calling down. I do appreciate it. Okay, let's get straight into appeals, and we'll start in Killybegs, Charlene.
That's correct. So Gardaí and Killybegs are investigating a criminal damage incident which occurred at Parkhead Killybegs between 11 p.m. on Friday the 20th of October and 10:30 a.m. on Saturday the 21st of October. A vehicle which was parked in the area overnight had its window smashed. So no items were reported to have been taken from the vehicle and entry wasn't gained. So just appeal to anyone this morning who may have witnessed the incident, or indeed anybody that may have been in the area that may have dash cam footage, just to make that available to Gardaí and Ballyshannon on 07198 53530.
Now, a significant amount of products stolen from a shop in Bundoran, Charlene.
That's right. On Thursday the 19th of October, at approximately 2 p.m, a pharmacy in the Bundoran area noticed that a shelf in the pharmacy had been completely cleared of its stock following a restock the previous day. And it was established that a large number of expensive perfumes had been taken from the store to approximately €2,300 in value. So I suppose, look, we're seeking the assistance of the public in relation to this appeal because we approach the Christmas period. Members of the public, they may be offered some of these perfumes for sale. People may go door to door attempting to sell the products on, and we just ask them to contact Gardaí or maybe their local Gardaí station, because it mightn't just be in the Bundoran area, they might go further afield to sell the items, or if they want to contact Gardaí directly at Crime Stoppers 1800 666 111.
You know, I mean, if someone lands at your door or approaches you and is selling you what you know to be an expensive product at a discount price, the reality is it's probably come from somewhere.
Again, if it's too good to be true,
it normally is. Right, criminal damage in Raphoe.
So Letterkenny Gardaí are appealing this morning for information in relation to a criminal damage incident that occurred at Park na Baltana in Raphoe in the early hours of Saturday morning, the 21st of October, and this occurred between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. Now, a homeowner woke to find that criminal damage had been caused to her front door overnight. So we're appealing to anyone who may have witnessed the incident, or indeed, once again, anyone that has any information in relation to this incident, to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 91671000.
All right, we'll go to Kilmacrenan now, and reports of a vehicle acting suspiciously.
So on the 17th of October, Greg, at approximately 8:30 p.m, Gardaí in Milford responded to a report from a business owner in the Keenan Kilmacrenan area who reported that a vehicle was acting suspicious outside their business premises. Now, what we know is that two people exited a vehicle and a combination lock of a gate was removed. The gate was opened and one person was seen entering the curtilage of the business premises before being disturbed and leaving the scene in a black Ford Mondeo partial reg TNZ with a rear yellow number plate and tow bar. So inquiries are currently ongoing in relation to this incident, but we're just appealing to the public that if anyone was in the area and noticed any vehicles like a black Ford Mondeo acting suspiciously, as we said, we have a partial reg here of a TNZ, or indeed if they're in the Kilmacrenan area and may have dash cam footage, something might have been picked up on that, just to make that footage available to Gardaí, and Gardaí can be contacted in Milford on this one on 07493 53060.
And subsequent to that, if someone is aware of where that vehicle is now, is Gardaí interested in that information also?
Absolutely, Greg. As we always say, any nugget of information is always helpful.
All right. This is sort of a dual situation. It is an appeal, but also an advisory for business shop owners.
That's correct, Greg. So on the 18th of October, Gardaí and Letterkenny became aware of an incident because they received a report from local business premises that a female had entered the store and placed three items into a plastic bag that she had in her possession. She then proceeded to the counter and sought a refund from the shop assistant for those items. Now, the shop assistant went to locate the manager and the female left the store with the items and without paying for them. So look, it's a warning for business owners of this type of scam. And again, we're coming up to a busy period, the Christmas period. So we're just asking business owners to be vigilant and to report such incidents to Gardaí, these types of like distraction theft and return fraud incidents. We do see them on the increase on the approach to the Christmas period.
Yeah, and as well too, I suppose, because we are coming into a busier period, it's possible that extra staff are being recruited who may not be familiar with the day-to-day runnings of stuff. And I suppose to give them the best chance, you need to be advising and educating new staff and current staff, of course, about these types of scams which are ongoing, as we know.
Absolutely, and that's all just about getting that information out there.
Yeah, for sure. And any businesses, I know they can contact Garda Sergeant Paul Wallace if they ever need any specific advice on such matters. Okay, theft of farm machinery, Charlene.
I believe this was a question maybe that was posed last week, just people, a listener wanted some advice in relation to it. And again, this type of crimes have become prevalent in spring and in autumn. So I suppose we're just reiterating the advice that we always give. Like, predominantly it's trailers that are stolen from, you know, farms. Mm-hmm. We do see quads and we see, you know, the likes of gates and fertilizers also being taken, but it's predominantly trailers. So just, again, the simple advice, store your tools and smaller machinery in secure buildings close to your farmhouse. Remove keys from quads and all vehicles when they're not in use. Photograph machinery and tools and keep a detailed record to make serial numbers and colours available. In the event that they are stolen, then we'll have a correct record of what they are. Mark the property with identifiable brands, or obviously then if you have a unique number, or some people have come in and done property marking in the last while, they maybe have something that's unique to them, whether it's a date of birth or whether it's an air code, they can get that put on their property. Firearm storage, use a secure firearms cabinet, and that ensure that it's secured to the wall. Restrict access to your farmyard by installing gates, and also CCTV, having that installed. And of course, good lighting around your house or your farmyard. And if there is like a community alert group in your area, perhaps consider joining up to one of those.
Yep, for sure, because some people will be the victims of these crimes, unfortunately. So it's a bit of advanced warning to try and make sure it's not you. People already being harangued with fireworks. We had an appeal there a couple of weeks ago, a horrible situation where a lit firework was put through the front door of someone's property. So the potential for injury there is shocking. And the use of and possession of fireworks without a license is a very serious crime. But more generally, just to remind people of that warning, Charlene.
Yeah, so igniting any illegal firework, throwing an ignited firework at a person or a property, or possession of illegal fireworks with intent to sale or supply, they're all offences, and they carry up to €10,000 of a fine and 5 years imprisonment. But also fireworks cause significant stress to vulnerable people in our community, also to elderly people, people with sensory issues. So it's just to be mindful of that. I suppose there are the things when you're younger you don't think about it. It's something I certainly didn't think about anyways until I got older. But they can cause stress and great harm too to pets and that. So we just ask everyone to refrain from purchasing or using illegal fireworks. If anybody has any information in relation to, you know, people that maybe have bought fireworks that are attempting to sell them, we'd ask them to contact Gardaí, like Letterkenny, Buncrana, Milford and Ballyshannon are all 24-hour stations. And again, after the programme, those numbers will be on our page.
Yeah, okay. And again, we know, because unfortunately these things happen, there will be people presenting to Letterkenny University Hospital with potentially very serious injuries, damage to the eyes, loss of fingers. It happens every year. Let's hope it doesn't happen this year. We're heading into a bank holiday, and we've seen that there's a potential for new rules that might increase penalty points over bank holiday weekends. And the reason for that is that we do see, and unfortunately we're seeing, a consistent level of fatality on our roads, but we can tend to see a peak over bank holiday periods. And that's why in the approach to a bank holiday often, Charlene, we have a specific warning from you guys.
That's correct, Greg. So just look, as you said there, as we approach the busy bank holiday weekend period, we're just asking drivers to take greater care on the roads. To date, 155 people have been killed on Irish roads, and that's up on 37 as this period last year. So we're just, once again, just ask people, slow down. Never drive whilst under the influence of alcohol or drugs. Don't use your phone whilst driving, or drive whilst you're tired. And that's a big one that we're seeing. So, and always ensure that you and everyone in your vehicle is wearing a seatbelt. So look, I suppose we all need to examine our driver behaviour and ensure that we're not doing anything that's contributing to serious or fatal road traffic collisions. Like, road safety is everyone's responsibility. Now, it is expected that a large number of people would be travelling and using the roads this bank holiday weekend. So we just ask motorists to plan their journey and pay attention to other road users. We do want everyone to have a safe and enjoyable bank holiday weekend. And simply remember that every decision that you make on the road counts. People that are going out socialising this weekend, Greg, we just urge them to leave their car at home, plan ahead, maybe book a taxi or organise a designated driver. And the same applies too if you are going walking this weekend, particularly in rural areas or in areas where there is no street lighting, that you're visible, high visibility jackets, something like that. Be safe and be seen out there. And also this weekend, I suppose we're coming into Halloween as well. Kids are going to be out and about. They're going to be on the roads. They're going to be trick-or-treating. And that's, I suppose, something else that we kind of don't think about until it's too late. So for them, there's glow sticks that you can buy. There, if you call into a Garda station, you can get some of the smaller high-visibility jackets that you could put on them. Put reflective tape on them. Mm-hmm. Because I have seen kids with black bags on them or false faces that, you know, they're just like, they're all black.
And they're invisible
until that's it, you cannot see them. And particularly when you are in rural areas and then there is no lighting in that. So it's just those wee things. Yeah. Or just even put bright colours on them or a bag on their back.
And if you use the road cycling or walking, as well, the clocks go back on Sunday. It's going to get dark early. Don't get caught out if you're on a walk and find yourself having to walk back without clothing on, without high-vis clothing on. Because if you look at the breakdown of the fatalities, it's across the board. It's pedestrians, motorcyclists, cyclists, car drivers, car passengers. Like, there's not an awful lot that we have the power to control in terms of, you know, deaths. But we can hear if we all do our bit. You know, an extra 37 people on top of an already awfully high number, an extra 37 lives lost so far this year compared to the same period last year. I mean, that's 37 huge holes in communities and families. And it's shocking, really, isn't it, Charlene?
We know the message.
Mm-hmm. It's just heeding it and not getting sort of complacent and not thinking that it won't happen to us.
Exactly. And of course, for road users that are out there, if they come across something that they think is or they believe is dangerous on the road, report it. Mm. Contact your local Garda station and report it to us and we'll investigate it from there.
That call could save a life. Okay, listen, thank you very much indeed, as always. Garda Charlene Anderson from the Buncrana Garda station. That was Community Garda information. It will be available for you to listen back on the podcast or watch back on our Facebook pages and the On Garda Síochána Facebook page a little later on today. And it's back live for you after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. Okay, we're joined on the programme now by TV chef Donal Skehan, who's got his 11th book out now. It's called Home Kitchen. Can you hear me okay, Donal?
I can. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Good morning to you. Okay,
good
Donal,
morning.
Congratulations on your 11th book. Great achievement. This one's described as a little bit more personal.
Yes, it's a bit of a story of coming home. We were living in Los Angeles for 5 years and we moved home at the beginning of the pandemic. And in lots of ways, we've been searching for home and getting back to Ireland. And, you know, in lots of ways, this is the companion of you know, our young family. And it hopefully serves a purpose for a lot of other families out there. It's you know, a collection of recipes that serves weekday rushes, you know, your weekend feast, the classics that you need to get you through the week. But ultimately, yes, it's a story of what Home Kitchen means to me, and hopefully it'll serve a purpose for other people as well. But we've only this year just bought our first home, and we're back in Ireland for good, I think.
I thought you were about to say only this year we bought our first air fryer. Do you embrace the air fryer? I had to stop talking about air fryers on this program because I think listeners thought I had some sort of an issue with them, because I was an early adopter and now I've got my Ninja next to my air oven because I believe that one is good for cooking certain things and the other for other things. Do you feature air fryers in your book?
I blame Nathan from Board of Lunch for being. I never knew the Northern Irish air fryer would be such a run. The air fryer. So he's convinced me that this is the way forward. And we featured it in the new TV show. It's in the new book. And I mean, look, I think I'm always going to be a lover of the classics. A good casserole pot is, you know, and the oven is never going to replace the air fryer. But what I will say about them is that they are a convenience, just like the microwave is a convenience. They're the kind of thing that I think a lot of people have embraced because of that fact that it's convenient. You know, even when I'm meal prep, we've got two young boys, we've got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. So anything that can help me get the dinner to the table a little bit quicker is a plus in my book. So the air fryer comes in quite handy. We use it for simple things like, you know, you can char grill, you know, broccoli in a short space of time. You can do sweet potato chips, easy things that are the building blocks of weekday meals or even on the weekend. So I do see the value in it. However, it won't replace the classic oven and
of
the old,
course it won't. But
pan.
In a way, like, you know, obviously, you know, you use less fat and all, but because we're all getting so conscious of our bills, you know, why wait 20 minutes to heat a huge oven? And then, you know, but as you say, the oven, you have to lean on it from time to time. It'll never go away. Now, in terms of I think you want this to be really accessible. I know you do anyway. But in terms of, like, you can get this book and people can cook lovely food that has sort of a restaurant feel to it. I think sometimes people are scared off by the names of things, right? So sheet pan, sticky Korean popcorn chicken with rice and slaw, right? I might go, oh no, I can't make
right,
that.
You're right, are you?
No, yeah, exactly. But then it's your job, isn't it? Say, no, you can have fancy fancy sounding, delicious, I'm really letting people know who I am here, delicious food, but you can make it at home and here's how.
Look, I think my job in the last kind of 10 years, I've been really clear about that. I've always looked at recipes and how to kind of make them accessible. So there's not too many ingredients. They're, you know, they're simple to do. And oftentimes it's about the building blocks of your home kitchen. I mean, most, I know there's so many home cooks out there who are passionate about their cooking. And then there's people who are beginners who never have stepped, you know, air fryer might be their first way in to cooking in the kitchen. So ultimately it's about the building blocks of becoming a confident home cook. And I think, you know, I talk about it quite a lot during throughout the book, is that, you know, we have different scenarios of how we cook throughout the week. And that might be the weekday rush, which we have a whole chapter on, the everyday dinners. But you also have time for, like, the slow weekend cooking. And, you know, those moments in the kitchen where you do have, you can stick on the radio, you stick on Highland Radio and you're cooking away doing nice things. But ultimately, you know, even a long-winded sounding title like that, you know, they're store cupboard pantry ingredients. You know, sriracha sauce is probably, you know, a hot sauce like that. You might only use a tablespoon of it, but it's going to keep for ages in your store cupboard. You know, soy sauce, you know, you buy the big bottles. And again, you're only using a tablespoon here, a tablespoon there. But they are the building blocks of really great meals. And my biggest thing with my recipes has always been, number one, that they're accessible, but number two, that there's a huge payoff at the end. So if you're going to go to the effort, even if you're a new cook, you're going to go to the effort of making the recipe, you're going to get that payoff at the end. You're going to sit down with something that's absolutely delicious and worth your while of actually getting into the kitchen and making it. So I do see that as a big job as part of the recipes we put together. So it might be a long-winded recipe title, but ultimately you're going to come and sit down. And I often say, you know, like, break down that recipe into your protein, your carbohydrate and your vegetable. Like I said, with two young kids, I'm always trying to make sure we have the balanced meals as much as possible. So you're looking at it from that perspective. And what I like to do is just sprinkle in those little elements that make them exciting and that make them a little bit different. You know, there's a recipe for, like, popcorn chicken that has cornflakes. I mean, like, everyone has fucking cornflakes. So it is that idea that you can take something and really use it to elevate. And
what about if those hot Doritos, could you switch out the cornflakes for the hot Doritos?
I know I've been in America, but you can't be leading me down that path now.
Why not? Come on. They're everywhere.
What, do you want flaming hot Cheetos on your chicken? Is that what we're
Why
going
not?
For?
Come here. Yeah, so as you say, it's the everyday dinners. It's the weekday rush. But, you know, as we head into the autumn and the nights are drawing in and we're, you know, maybe a little bit more time at home and even maybe to refocus and get back to enjoying, you know, making that Sunday dinner or the slow cooker that might be sitting in the bottom shelf of your kitchen right behind all the pans that you use every day and it hasn't been out in ages, you know, get it out, because there's nothing nicer, is there, than going into the kitchen and lifting, well, you're supposed, I'm not sure if you're supposed to lift the lid or not, but do you know what I mean? And you can see it bubbling away there. It's really satisfying.
Now, there is that element. And I think, like I said, you know, the book is broken up into how we use our weeks, like your make ahead Sundays, the busy weekday rush, but also those weekend moments. And I think they're the times that I love cooking, where I really have time to cook. And, you know, there's a slow cooker chicken stew, which literally tastes like a roast chicken dinner in a comforting bowl. So, you know, and it's basic ingredients. It's chicken thighs. It's onion, celery and carrot, and then thyme. And, you know, little moments like that you have up your sleeve that you can throw out that really bring everyone to the table. And my favourite moment and my memories of growing up with my mum as a great cook was the window steaming up at this time of year, where you knew there was something good in the oven and you knew she'd put a little bit of love and effort into what was going on the dinner table. So, you know, the recipes are in there for that. And you know, they're, like I said, it's a companion for people in their home kitchens so that you have that sort of playbook of recipes that are easy to dive into. And slow cooker chicken, roast chicken, there's beautiful and very simple things that just bring, you know, like a roast pork dinner with really good crackling and, you know, all the extra sides. This has to, you know, these are the recipes that serve a purpose in our weekday and our week lives. So I think ultimately it's trying to have those recipes up your sleeve so that you have the opportunity to get something tasty to the dinner table.
Yeah. And, you know, we talk about how we're all really, really busy. But, you know, I sat back there not so long ago and are we all as busy as we actually really think, or are we just not really managing our time very well? And we're just conditioned to be, you know, always rushing. I'm trying to drop the shoulders a little bit and breathe a bit more and go, right, maybe you do have an hour to cook something a little bit long form now. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think more than anything, you know, during COVID and the pandemic, we've all kind of, the amount of people who are cooking, you know, the amount of people who are kind of seeing that as a moment of solace. And personally speaking, you know, I've kind of, we're like most people, you're running around, you're trying to raise a family, you're keeping work going. But like, these are the moments, like there is self-care in cooking. And, you know, there is those moments where, you know, you've kind of looked after yourself when you've sat down and cooked. And like, that doesn't have to be every day. Like everyone kind of has enough pressures in life. You don't have to be cooking every day. You can take the shortcuts, take the cheats. But when you do really take that moment of solace to enjoy, stick the radio on and, you know, a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning, and you cook something that you're all going to sit down to. Like for me, that is the magic moment of cooking and why it's all worthwhile. You have the solution, you have the solid, you know, the solid recipes that get you through the week. But those little ones that you make with a bit of love and a bit of passion, those are the ones that I think we all find a little bit more mindfulness and solace in. So yeah, it's important. I'm doing the same and trying to put the shoulders back and take the deep breaths when you can.
Exactly, you have to, don't you? And the TV show, Donald, talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's the TV show starts on RT1 on the 1st of November, on Wednesday, next week actually. So it's kicking off. It's an 8-part series with a Christmas special part of it, but it's basically celebration of home. You know, like I said, we've been traveling and this is a moment to come home. So, you know, these are the recipes that get us through the week. And it's been a lovely one to shoot because we've shot it around where I live here in Howth in Dublin and close to our family home. And from that perspective, you know, actually it was very funny because we had the kids kind of feature a little bit, but our eldest fella, he's 5 now, and he told me, "Papa, I'm done. I don't want to do any more of this." Because only because he was having to change out of his clothes 5 times in one day, and he was completely over it. So I think we have to respect that now. He's done. He's done with the quick changes. So but they do feature, and I mean, my 2 boys are absolutely feral. So the fact that we got them to feature in any way, shape, or form is its own success story.
Well, we'll look forward to that. The new book, Home Kitchen, Everyday Cooking Made Simple and Delicious, is out now. It's in hardback, but also to an ebook, because you know, more and more people now are using the tablet or the laptop.
Don't tell them that I'm pushing the Kindle, but it is cheaper if you want to buy it.
All right, on the Kindle as well. All right, well, listen, continued success. We look forward to show. The book is out there in all the usual places. It's available as an ebook. And we really appreciate you coming on. As I say, continued success. You're a busy man, Donald, and we appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care of yourself.
Great fond memories of heading up to Highland Radio over the years.
Brilliant. Well, sure, you're always welcome. It's an open invitation.
Thank you very much.
Donald, take care of yourself. That's Donald Skehan there, author of Home Kitchen, that book out now, and his show begins on RTE next week, if you're interested in that. Dear Greg, maybe you can listen, maybe you can help out there. Dear Greg, I bought a washing machine 3 weeks ago in a local store. It stopped working. I rang a number on the receipt. It's an 0818 number. No one's rang me back since yesterday morning. I tried ringing since 9:30 today. Still holding. Would you please know, do you know what I can do? Can I ask for the machine to be lifted and get my money back? Thank you. Was it delivered to you by, this is a multinational store, by the way, not one of the local, it is a local store as well, but it's multinational. So bought a washing machine 3 weeks ago. It stopped working. Do you know out there, do you have to leave it into the store? Are they obliged to come and collect it for you and replace it, or can they offer to repair it? Any of you out there have had that experience, please let us know. 08660 25000. These laughing gas canisters are a huge issue in Britain. Parks cluttered, also on the streets, indeed, and in Dublin, as we heard from a councillor there. I'm just curious, have they come up on the radar here? I think maybe Tidy Towns groups might be the most likely to see them, but maybe they haven't. Maybe their use up here is not widespread, though I did get a message from someone to say that there was an incident involving that product in the region across the northwest somewhere not too long ago. So some people maybe they know exactly what we've been talking about. Okay, we had a correspondence from a listener. Since Easter, my daughter's pharmacist tells me every month that my child's monthly medication, which has been prescribed by CAMHS Letterkenny for several years without issue, has suddenly become hard to source. Every month I pre-order, giving our pharmacist a week's notice. This month I had to ask our consultant in CAMHS to adjust the prescription due to no availability of 10 milligram, 20 milligram, etc. Instead, all the pharmacist could locate at suppliers was in 18 milligram capsules, which couldn't be dispensed without a consultant adjusting my daughter's script. Our pharmacist said that yesterday he had no supply of prescribed cream for a customer and no asthma pump for the same woman's son. She said his pharmacy recently went a whole year with no supply of paracetamol. I think all pharmacists are affected. They've got no stock and cannot order as the suppliers have no stock. So, Greg, what on earth is going on with supply? To which jurisdiction is the supply going? Because it's not just specialist meds, it's everyday meds that are becoming unavailable in Ireland. My daughter's medication cannot be stopped without a controlled reduction over time. My heart breaks for the parent who couldn't get an asthma prescription for her son yesterday. Asthma can kill. I'm not able to manage, says this listener. I'm close to burnout. Okay, so that's a shocking situation. Margaret O'Doherty is a pharmacist at Rafoe Pharmacy and a regular contributor on this programme, which we're very grateful for, and joins us now. Margaret, how typical is that listener's situation, I wonder?
Unfortunately, it's very typical, and my heart goes out to her because she's obviously in a very difficult situation. Her child, she probably had a long way to get an appointment with CAMHS, first of all, and the service is very busy. It's an excellent service, but it's quite hard to get into, and you have problems. I mean, she has to arrange her life around getting appointments, getting her medication, her child's medication. So I know how difficult it is for parents in that situation, and my heart really does go out to her and to all the others who are in it. And unfortunately, some of my own patients are in exactly the same position.
And what's the issue, Margaret?
Well, the issue, I mean, we've spoken about it before, but in this particular case, the drugs, there's been a big increase in demand for it. There's been a lot more awareness around these conditions, and particularly in adults. It used to be we only saw these drugs prescribed in children. Now a lot of adults are getting a late diagnosis of it, and they're taking these medications, and it's very beneficial for them, but it has caused a big surge in demand internationally. It's not just an Irish problem, it's an international problem. And for a long time, the drugs have been what they call on allocation, which means that we only get a certain amount of them every month. So if I have two patients on a particular strength, I can only get two packs of that, and so on. So that if you have new patients, you're sort of going to the company again saying, can I get my allocation increased? Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't, depending on availability. But now we're in the bind, basically, that we can't get our allocations. It used to be every month. You couldn't get it to the start of the month. Then it was, it was a week into the month, the middle of the month. No, they just don't have any stock to supply you with at all.
I think that's really quite an interesting insight, because people might have thought that you just get a lorry load of drugs in and then they're drawn down as needed. But you have to make inquiries specific to your customers.
Exactly.
Right.
When drugs are in short supply, the suppliers that we use, two main wholesalers, they have the stocks. They get the stocks from the manufacturers who supply what they consider to be suitable for the Irish market or what the demand should be. That's then divided among pharmacies on the basis of what you normally buy. So, as I say, if I have two patients on it, I'll get 2 packs of it. If I have 3 patients, I might get 3 packs of it. But getting the allocation, you're constantly on to them, like, can I get my allocation increased? Sorry, we can't increase it. Sorry, we can't even give you what your allocation was last month. Often that's the case, you know, or we can't give you anything. And that's happening more and more.
So the listener says it appears things are getting worse. I mean, you've confirmed that. This obviously, there's more demand. Suppliers can't meet the demand. So is this going to be a long-term issue, or is there any talk of suppliers ramping up productivity, or...?
Well, that's one possibility, but it certainly won't be happening in the short term. It's not just as simple as ramping up it. Making drugs is a complex process. It's a highly regulated process. So it's very difficult to just ramp up supply. That's part of the problem as well.
Is this person obviously dealing with a specific pharmacist? There be any advantage for them ringing around pharmacies that maybe...
Unfortunately not, Greg, because as I say, we have an allocation. Mm. The allocation is what you bought over the last 6 months, last year. So in this particular case, some cases, drugs that aren't what we call on allocation, you may have, you know, some pharmacists may have more stock than others. But in this particular case, unfortunately, I would say she'd only be stressing herself more, ringing around pharmacies. She'd all tell her the same thing. Sorry, I can't help you.
Yeah, and are we particularly disadvantaged because we're a relatively smaller market that maybe the likes of Britain or France can put the squeeze on these companies for supply more than we might? As I say, we're effectively a city. The whole country is the size of a city of another country.
That's certainly part of the problem, but it's not the whole problem. In the UK, they have exactly the same problem. And just when Caroline rang me this morning, I just checked. On the 27th of September, they issued a patient safety alert around these drugs, specifically warning the prescribers and that they weren't going to have stock of them, that the stocks that they had weren't going to meet demand, advising them not to start new patients on it.
Wow.
We've had no guidance whatsoever here in Ireland. They've given very specific guidance. Here it's been left to the patients and their parents and pharmacists to try and scramble around trying to find stock. And
see, what worries me, and I would love to see maybe the HSC putting out some public information in relation to this, like another very popular drug or medicine that seems in short supply is an injection that quite a lot of people, more and more people, seem to be using for weight loss. And there was a warning issue yesterday that this product is being offered on the internet and it's actually really quite dangerous. That's just one example. I just hope people don't get desperate and try and source any drugs at all online through that desperation and find themselves causing harm or injury to themselves or their children.
I mean, obviously, I would echo that, Greg, particularly in the case of these medications for people that are suffering, that are attending mental health services. It's absolutely critical that they don't take anything that isn't prescribed by their consultant and obtained from a registered pharmacy. There's a lot of stuff on the internet. You can get anything you want online. Unfortunately, it's not always what it says it is. So I would be very, very careful on that score.
So, Margaret, finally, all we can do really is sympathise with our listener and sort of confirm what they already know to be true, and not a great deal of medium to short-term hope to offer them at this point. This is a global issue at the moment.
It is, but I think we should see a great deal more leadership from the HSE and the HPRA who regulate it. The information on their website is very, very limited. It's telling people that there are suitable alternatives available when really there aren't. It doesn't emphasise how difficult it is to access them, that these drugs have to be used under specialist supervision. And that's putting an awful lot of pressure on a service that's already grossly overworked as it is.
And you are the ones fielding the calls in inverted commas, because you're the coal face, at the coal face. And they say, well, I saw the HSC say this, give me it.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, and as I say, my heart goes out to the people who are suffering, and it's very frustrating for us and for the pharmacy teams who are working so hard. It looks as if we're doing absolutely nothing, but so much of our time is spent on this issue with very, very little results, unfortunately.
Do you agree that a consultant has to be consulted for any changes to medicine, or do you believe there could be some flexibility in some areas to allow pharmacists maybe to offer alternatives, or do you think, given what we're talking about, it's important that consultants are consulted?
And in this particular case, on patients that are under CAMHS, that they have to see their consultant or a doctor that's very experienced in using these drugs. Most of the other shortages, the pharmacists and GPs are well able to manage them. It takes time and it's frustrating, but it's something that we can do. In this particular case, our hands are completely tied because you do have to have a lot of expertise to handle these patients.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Margaret, thanks as always for your insight. I do appreciate it. And as you pointed out, you're like all our pharmacists incredibly busy. So thank you so much for your time. That's Margaret O'Doherty, who is a pharmacist at Rafo Pharmacy. 086 60 25 000 if you want to have a view on that, or give us a call on 074 91 25 000.